Okay, Rabotai. Today is Wednesday, December the 19th, Asara B'Tevet. This is the women's Chumashir. We are beginning Dvarim Perek Chaf Hei. Okay, Rabotai. We are starting Dvarim Perek Chaf Hei today. An incredibly difficult three psukim. Not so much in terms of understanding ultimately what they're trying to convey, but rather on account of the fact that the Pshuto Shel Nikra seems to have no meaning whatsoever, and the only way in which one can understand it is by adopting the Gemara's interpretation of the Pasuk, which places the context of this Pasuk in a totally different case. It's a most unusual presentation. So we will try to read the Pasukim just simply to tell what the words, what's the Torah trying to tell us, and then we'll see the difficulties and how the Gemara, Rashi, and the Ramban who follow the Gemara try to explain. Ki yihyeh riv bein anashim. Should there be a quarrel amongst people? Okay, two people get into a disagreement. Very nice. V'nikshu el hamishpat ushfatu, and they will approach the judge in order to, I would imagine, adjudicate the case. Okay, so let's just imagine what's happened. We're having a dispute. What's the dispute about? I want to watch the Giant game. You want to watch some soap opera. So we're having a major dispute. So what? I claim you owe me $1,000. You claim you paid me already. So in order to resolve this dispute, we're going to go to Beit Din. Ushfatu, and Beit Din will make a decision. Vaya, what shall the Bezdin do? V'hitzdiku et hatzadik, they will declare as righteous the righteous one. V'hirshiyu, and they will convict and prosecute the guilty one. Very nice. Okay. Vahaya, what will happen then? Imbin hakota rasha. Beit Din will now decide to strike the Rasha. So how do they strike him? Vihi pilo hashofet. The judge shall make, literally means make him to fall over, make him bend over a little. Vihi kahu lifanav, and you will then strike him. Kidei rishato, in accordance with what? With his rish'ah, with his terrible crime, bimispar, the number that has been allocated to give, the number of strikes that have been allocated to give you. Okay? Anybody have a foggy idea of what we're talking about?
Why is this, they never spoke about like how they
punish. Okay, so this is going, first of all, what's the case? What is the case that the Torah is talking about? What's the case? Okay, so here's the case. It says there was a quarrel between two people. So what type of quarrel are we dealing with? What's happening? So I said, I went ahead, I decided that I claimed that you owe me $1,000. You claimed it. Okay. So now we're going to go to bed. So, let's assume Bezdin says you're right and I'm wrong. So what happens? So if I'm right and you're wrong, what happens? What's the consequence? I claimed you owe me $1,000. Bezdin said it's a bunch of baloney. Either you have to pay or what? Or you don't have to pay. That's the end of the decision. Who's getting lashes here? Why is anybody getting lashes?
the Rasha.
I know. If you never borrowed money from me, so am I the Rasha based on I made a claim? If that's what it is? I made a claim that you owe me money? No, I don't know. It's very, very unusual.
So it could be like something like, you know, he fell over your property because there was a hole in it, and I could claim that your property was unsafe.
Okay, so we know what the answer to that is. You pay for damages. But let's assume you come onto my property, I was negligent, I didn't shovel the snow, you slip on the ice, you break your arm. Okay, so now you sue me in Beit Din. What will Beit Din make me pay? It will make me pay for any damages that you incur. Because my property is responsible for your injury. I don't get lashes. I don't get malchus. There's no false witnesses here. Where's the same thing about a false witness in this puzzle? The same thing? Anything about a witness in this puzzle? No. Obviously, you can see that the words themselves are very, very difficult. Sometimes we have Gemara interpretation to add another perspective. In this particular case, if we do not rely on how the Gemara is going to present what's happening in this case, the words seem to make no sense whatsoever. I cannot articulate clearly what exactly is the case of the Torah, which is telling me two people were engaged in a quarrel, they came to Beis Din, and I wind up getting malchus. Never in any case of Jewish law do I get malchus because there is a quarrel between two people. Normally, quarrels are civil suits. They're monetary issues. And the Beit Din has a long list in Parshat Mishpatim how to handle suits for claims that resolve disputes between two people. What type of transgressions do we associate with what? With lashes. What type of transgressions?
Oh, they're
allowed. Allah. What such as Allah? Between whom and whom? Feinatam lamakom. For example, you eat non-kosher meat. The punishment is Allah. You get 39 lashes. You eat basar b'chalav, milk and meat cooked together. Somebody warns you and you eat it. What happens? You get 39 lashes. Every single negative prohibition of the Torah, unless there is a penalty of death stipulated, for example, the Torah says you're not permitted to do milacha on Shabbat. Lo ta'aseh kol milacha. That's a law. But the Torah also says that anybody who is mechalal Shabbat is mot yumat. He gets killed in Beit Din. So we know what happens when you violate a law and the Torah stipulates the punishment, death. Sometimes the Torah says you get karet. The Torah says, kol machmetzet lo tochelu. You're not permitted to eat chametz on Pesach. Ki chol ha'ochel chametz v'nichrita ha'nefesh ahi me'amel. He is punished with karet. Some type of death implemented by heaven. But in the absence of a punishment stipulated, we give malchus for a lav, for a regular lav, we give malchus. Not between a situation where there are two people who are quarreling and come to Beis Din and the Beis Din has to resolve the case. That's why I say these psukim are basically, from our halachic vantage point, are totally unintelligible. We don't know what the pasuk means. So I will attempt to share with you how the Gemara tries to make sense out of this particular case. And this question that I'm raising, it was raised by the Ramban in his opening remark. He says, he also selected the prototype of eating non-kosher meat as the prototype of when you get lashes. What's that got to do? Asked the Rambam with Kiyer Rizvein Hashem. There's a quarrel between two people. Why, if you want to introduce lashes as a punishment, because no place in the Torah does it ever say you get lashes. This is the only place in the only location. So if you want to somehow introduce lashes, that it applies for every single negative commandment, I understand the next pasuk. Please look at pasuk Dalet for a minute. Okay? We'll read Gimel for a minute. Arba'im yakenu lo Yosef. When you go ahead and administer lashes, it's to be 40 and not more. Pen Yosef lahakotola ela makaraba. Be very careful not to add more than 40, because then v'nikla achicha le'enecha. Your brother who is being on the receiving end of all these lashes is going to be humiliated if you keep hitting him. Okay, we'll talk about this a little later. First of all, it's not 40, it's 39. We'll talk about this a little later. Then suddenly, in the same unit, lo taksom shor v'disho. Don't muzzle an ox when you're threshing. I don't want to say this. If you wrote an essay this way and you submitted it to your English teacher, you'll get a zero, an absolute zero, because you wrote three sentences, one has nothing to do with the next. Totally unintelligible. So this last phrase, I understand. Once I now have introduced the concept of Malkus, and I haven't told you how we've gotten to that point yet, but once I've introduced Malkus, I want to give an illustration for the type of violation for which there is a punishment of lashes. No place does it say what I just told you, that when you violate a negative commandment, generally between you and God, there is the punishment of lashes. It doesn't say that anymore. But the Torah chose to write one simple verse. When your animal is threshing, you are not permitted to muzzle its mouth. You have to allow it to eat.
Today is Wednesday, December 19th. Asara Patavis is a continuation of the shir on Dvarim Perikofei.
So now, here is the case. Okay? I'm going to give you a case where the halakha has decided you cannot implement the rule of Ta'asher Zaman. Hold on a second. You can't implement the case of Ta'asher Zaman. So here is the case. Okay? Listen carefully. Two witnesses come to Beit Din and they report that a Kohen married a Grusha. And that this child was conceived from this union, and therefore what is the status of the child? He is called a chalal, a disgraced Kohen. Okay? Again, two witnesses come to Beit Din, and they say, we know for a fact this man, Kohen, who had a relationship with this woman, who was a divorced woman, and 9 months later, she gave birth to a baby, and this is the baby, a baby boy. And we are now claiming that he is a chalal. He is disgraced on the kuhuna, not permitted to do birchat kohanim, he's not permitted to do the avodah, the Beit HaMikdash. He forfeits his kedushat kuhuna, becomes a regular Yisrael. Okay? Now, Beit Din accepted the testimony of this person. And they told this little kid, you're a chalal. That's it. Now, the event had to be documented by two witnesses. Two witnesses saw this Kohen have a relationship with this woman, who was a divorced woman. Marry this woman.
Was he warned?
Yes, yeah, 20. Master, Mister, you're not allowed to marry a grusha. If you're going to marry her and go to your hotel room tonight, I'm going to have to report you. Very nice. And he did. 5 minutes later, second pair of witnesses come into Beit Din and say, these first two witnesses who claimed that what? That they saw Mr. Kohen, Miss Divorcee, go into a hotel room on that night, 9 months ago, on that night, and therefore gave birth to his child. Those two witnesses were with us at Giant Stadium that night. They couldn't have seen it. They could not have seen it. Huh? What does the Torah say? You have to believe the second pair of witnesses. So now what happens? Little Chalal is now made righteous. What is his status? You're a full-fledged Kohen, mister. Go up in Duchen, do whatever you want. Eat Truma, offer Korbanot. No problem. We will now proclaim as Rishaim whom? The first two witnesses.
They
are not. So now, good. So the Gemara, the Mishnah, it's the first Mishnah in Makot. So the Mishnah is aware of the fact that you can't implement Ka'asher Zaman. You can't do unto the witnesses what they intended to do, what? Unto the defendant. Because they're not Kohanim. So their children cannot be Chalalim. So what happens in this particular case? Now our story picks up. Now, hold on. No questions. Now our story picks up. Now I'm going to reread the psukim. Ki hi yeriv ben anashim. There were two people who were, I don't know who the quarrel is. That's a very good case.
Yeah.
It's a very good question. Who is the quarrel in this particular situation? In fact, I could have illustrated it with another case where there is not Ka'asher Zaman based on another consideration. That's why I didn't want to use that case, which was precipitated by an argument. Okay, I could have used another case. So just leave. You want me to redo the whole case? I'll do it.
I have an idea. Why did these guys do this whole testimony in the first place? Maybe that was something to a risk.
Could be. Maybe. Very possible.
Yeah.
But I want to ignore that for a second. V'nikshu al hamishpat. We now bring this Kohen and Grusha to Beit Din. Ushvatu. And we ruled them. We made a decision that we accept the testimony of the first witnesses. Mr. Pisher, baby, you're a chalo, don't ever do him. Not yet. Now come the second witnesses and report that the first witnesses were Eden Zomerman because they could not have testified as to what they had seen because they were us watching the Giant game. V'hitzdiku et tzadik. We will now declare as innocent a person who was heretofore declared a Rasha. That's the kid. V'hirshiu et harasha. And we will now make into Rishaim those who were previously innocent. Those are the first two witnesses. But we cannot implement Kasher Zaman. So wherever you cannot implement Kasher Zaman, what should have happened in this case? Nothing. If you can't do Kasher Zaman, that's all the Torah wrote in Shmot in Devarim Yotzei when it discusses Edom Zaman. Do what you wanted to do unto the friend. But if you can't, nothing's supposed to happen. So now the Torah wakes up and says, what should you do? V'haya in bin hakota rasha. You will now give lashes to the rasha. It's not really the rasha, but who is it really? The Rishaim. The two witnesses who are what? Who are Edom Zomer. The two witnesses who are Edom Zomer. So now we know, we have read the pasuk, and it's exactly the way you thought 40 minutes ago. That's what the pasuk is talking about, right? That's what the pasuk is talking about. This is a simple shot, right? Vahaya. Now there are details concerning Makot. Because I've introduced Makot. Vihi pilu hashofet. You're supposed to make him bend over. Good. Vihi kahu lifanav. And you are to strike him in his front. Rashi will point out that there are 39 lashes. Two-thirds are actually on his back. One-third are given what? On his front. Okay, I'm not talking about the details too much right now. Next, hold on. Kidei rishato. In line with his what? With his rishut. What did he do? He offered false testimony.
That's very bad.
That's correct. He offered false testimony. However, give me the ninth commandment of the Torah, of the Ten Commandments, the ninth commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Scott, under ordinary circumstances, based on the rule that I told you 20 minutes ago, would you have administered lashes? Yes or no, and why?
I would have killed him.
No! False testimony in a regular case. It's speech. It's not. It's a law. You're not allowed to bear false testimony, but it's not an action. It's not an action. It's speech. This is the source that this is an exception to the rule. That false testimony is an exception to the rule, and what shall you now do to this Russia? Give him lash. Had you been able to do Kasher Zomam, we would not give him lashes. Had you been able to implement what he wanted to do to the defendant, as I illustrated with the case of murder, so what would we have done to the two defendant witnesses? We would have executed them. We would not give them lashes before we execute them. We would not. And we'll see why in a minute. It's going to be learned out from this pasuk as well. We're going to learn it out in a minute. And you shall do so bimispar. When you do give the lashes, only within the number that you are permitted to give. How much is that number? Arba'im yakenu, lo yosif. You have to give him 40 lashes, don't give him any more. Pen yosif lahakoto aleila makaraba. Perhaps you will laugh, you'll hit him so hard, and then what happens? V'nikla chicha le'necha, he'll be so humiliated. Very nice. Now thou shalt not muzzle a donkey when you thresh. Now the whole thing fits in beautifully. I have now reconstructed the psukim to create a situation where Bet Din will apply lashes. Once I know they will, and that's why it explains, we have to prosecute the righteous. Of course, Beis Din should. That you need a pasuk to tell me that a Beis Din's job, when it's assigned a case of litigation, is to say that the innocent one, the tzaddik, is right, and the guilty one is. You don't need a pasuk to tell me that, obviously. But here, the problem was the wrong person had been prosecuted, so I have to straighten it out. V'tzdikus tzaddik. The wrong person was a tzaddik. I have to make him into a Russia. So we're talking about Edom Zomim. What type of Edom Zomim? Where I cannot implement Ta'asher Zomim. I gave you an illustrated case where it's Ben Gerusha u Ben Chalut, a Ben Gerusha case, where the consequences of your testimony is that you make the child a Chalal.
Is this the only case that applies to?
No, there are a handful of other cases. And in order to take care of Mati's concern, where is the Riv, I will give you another case where there is a quarrel. Okay? Two people are having a fight. Okay? And then somebody, these two people who are quarreling, this guy was responsible for somebody's death, but it was an accident. It was an accident. We know that these guys were fighting with one another. Then the guy, one of the guys who was fighting, happened to be climbing up a ladder, and the other guy happened to be walking right by. He slipped off the ladder, he fell, and he killed him. What happens in such a case? It's supposed to be galut, ir miklat. There is a pasuk from which we learn that you cannot give ir miklat to edim zomimin. We learn it out from a pasuk. You cannot assign Arei Miklat, Galut, exile, to Eidim Zolomim. These are the witnesses who were declared false because they were not there. So here you have a case, Mati, Ki Yeriv, Veinan Ashim. There was a fight. And then what happened? Oh, just 5 minutes after the fight, he goes up the ladder and he just slips. Now they bring it to Bezdin. Did he do it deliberately? And the witnesses said, no, he didn't jump off the ladder. He actually slipped off the ladder. It was a real accident. You have to go to Arei Miklat. Very nice. So they ruled that Reuven has to go to Arei Miklat. 5 minutes later, the second pair of witnesses walk in and say, you two witnesses could not have reported that you saw Reuven slip off the ladder. Why? You were such a giant stadium. So now what is Bezdin supposed to do to the first two witnesses? They're supposed to send them to Arei Miklat. But they can't for some technical reason. The halacha in the Maseches Makkel says you can't. So therefore, what do they do? V'hayim v'nakos
ha'rashim. But in this case, they were trying to save him because clearly he killed the guy. So if he says, how do we know he killed the guy? Because he's dead. Right. But we don't know that this guy did it.
The only way we know he did it was because the first two witnesses said he did it. Maybe he died. Somebody bashed him over the head. Yeah.
I want to go back 2 steps. You talk about the Ben Kohen and a Grisha.
Right.
Ben Kohen and Grisha. The status of the child is what you were talking about.
Correct. Hello.
But isn't there a punishment for the Kohen? Doesn't
he? Yeah, he violates a negative command. Not a live with a Grisha. That's correct, but that's not this case. That's a regular law. You're not allowed to live with a Kohen. Very nice.
I don't understand why the child is...
That's a different question. That's the mamzer question. Why are we punishing the child?
No.
What then?
Well, theoretically, the child... If the child's not the child of the Kohen... Then the child wouldn't be a Kohen anyway, because the child would return to status of a Kohen.
Because why?
She wasn't a Grusha.
Maybe she wasn't a Grusha.
She might not be a Grusha.
Right, that's all. A Kohen has a boy, his son is a Kohen. That's all.
How can anybody testify that they think this is an accident or not an accident? Some people
up the
ladder, they don't know.
Okay, Bezdin has to report what they saw. What they saw, even if he got dizzy, it also was an accident. Bezdin would have to not say he didn't jump on it. You can tell when somebody falls off or he jumps on it. Bezdin knows how to investigate. Okay, I have to apologize. I have to stop right now. I have to apologize. So, at least we managed to see how the words of the Gemara mean, and then we will continue next week with some of the details, but this was an incredible illustration of reading a pasuk, having not knowing what in the world the Torah is talking about, and the Gemara fills in the details.